This is Catherine Hastings, and you are listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. It is my pleasure to have David Meltzer back on the show. The first time he came to talk on Word Temple, we did an interview and discussed his life, and he read some poems. Today, we're here to celebrate the release of his new book, When I Was a Poet. This was published by City Lights Press this year. Born in 1937, David Meltzer is a poet associated with both the Beat Generation and the San Francisco Renaissance. He was also included in Don Allen's anthology, The New American Poetry, 1945 to 1960. A child prodigy, Meltzer performed on radio and television in New York beginning in the late 1940s. In 1957, after a few years in Los Angeles, Meltzer moved to San Francisco. There, he associated with such poets as Allen Ginsberg, Robert Duncan, and Jack Spicer. One of the pioneers of jazz poetry readings, Meltzer also formed a psychedelic folk rock group called Serpent Power. In addition to his many books of poetry, Meltzer also published 10 erotic novels in the late 60s and early 70s. He has edited many anthologies, including the book of interviews San Francisco Beat, Talking with the Poets, also released by City Lights. He also taught for many years in the Poetics program at New College of California. In 2005, Penguin Books published David's copy, The Selected Poems of David Meltzer. Lawrence Ferlinghetti has called Meltzer one of the greats of post-World War II San Francisco poets and musicians. And about his new book, When I Was a Poet, Ferlinghetti says, "With this primal book, David Meltzer takes his place among the great poets of his generation." When I Was a Poet is a dual milestones in the history of City Lights, because When I Was a Poet is volume 60 of their Pocket Poet series, and it's also their first book of poems by David Meltzer. The title piece is an ambitious work by a master at the height of his powers, a spiritual assessment of the meaning of a lifetime spent writing poetry. Also included in the book are portraits of key figures in his life, including Semina artist Wallace Berman, as well as California Dreamin', a reminiscence of beat-era bohemian life. Among its other highlights are the vintage previously uncollected series French Broom, a nutty homage to Mr. Peanut, and I remember Mr. Peanut right off the freeway in San Francisco, a section of Mystical Amulets, and complete versions of Night Reels and Dogma, which appear here for the first time. With its profound meditations on love, loss, aging, and death, When I Was a Poet is a substantial contribution to American poetry by one of its foremost living practitioners. Here now is David Meltzer reading from When I Was a Poet.
When I was a poet, I had no doubt. Knew the ins and outs of all and everything, lettered, inworded, each syllable seed stuck to a letter, formed a word, a world. When I was a poet, the world was a cluster of words splattered upon white space. When I was a poet, I knew even when I didn't. I thought I knew the game, whereas the game knew me, played me like an ocarina. When I was a poet, I was an acrobat, a tightrope walker, keeping balance in my slippers on a wire above Grand Canyon, Inferno, Vertigo. Oh, I did prance the death-defying dance, whereas now death defines each second of awaking. When I was a poet, everyone I knew were poets too, and we'd gather at spots poets and others met at, and yes, questions, yes, without pause, with no answer. Ultimates, certainly. Absolutes, absolutely. But otherwise, nada, zilch, great empty, blank page, blank stare into the core of it all. When I was a poet, Willie Nelson was back to back with Paul Celan, side by side on the trail of tears. No worries, no gravity, wide eyes awake, zeroing into all edges and lights of the ordinary, extraordinary. Fools for love, fools for freedom, dance as mites and fleas into the void. Worldless and wordless, my red diapers gird me. When I was a poet, aloof and above, free of doubt, a chopper view encompasses grand map of the spread of what's to know. Hit the streets from bar to bar, stooling truth to cadres, compatriots, jot dots connecting all together as we've always known everything to be. When I was a poet, everything was possible. There wasn't anything that wasn't poetry. Voyant supreme, skateboarding void, no fear of falling, even when falling. When I was a poet, passion was a wire plugged into nerve ends of lovers' spines, charging our volts with jolts of jazz and deep juice parting like red seas. Dig it, Creeley said. When I was a poet, knowing it, within measure and beyond, free-falling, reforming, riffing 24/7, disconnected from Jack's electrics, getting it all down on paper with pen, pencil, or typewriter, watching paper stack up towers of profound poetry babble. When I was a poet, death was a metaphor, a traditional glyphic, rampant metaphysic, immortality assured, while Dante's Midway or Coney's Boardwalk spilled over, and vanishing became routine, and all of the hummingbirds who darted in and out of each line got grounded. When I was a poet, everything was a revelation, no detail less than cosmic. When I was a poet, Eden dew made my raiments soggy. Nectar got me groggy, but visions woke me up. Battle of the bands and bonds wouldn't let me off easy, despite the breezy gab sprung forth from cluck tongue in your ear swirl, your lobule lips, me burrowing deeper and deeper into within's heat, slick, slippery perfume. When I was a poet, I grieved and raged against now and then and knew it was all about letters shape-shifting into words and poems that could salve and solve most grievances, even death's silence. When I was a poet, I knew nothing and everything, and now I'm in between the lines, signs everywhere. When I was a poet, no need to know it, each word the word revealing the word, I could trace it like shooting stars, each letter luminous and liminal and erratic with shimmer, to put them together and the flow of flux was deluxe, swam in it, the light made seeing possible. When I was a poet, poetry was all there was, each beloved, exalted, beyond the margins. Everything and nothing was poetry to me. All I could see and be was poetry. Heaven every day, all the way down to my grungy socks, up to my ozone wisdom, no zone. When I was a poet, it all made sense as poetry in motion, ongoing forever and ever. Now, at the end of the line, the letters assigned as words sound out in brain's dome. When I was a poet, was a thief, a jackdaw of all traits, straight to the shining things. Jongler, juggler, fast-footed roller skater in rinks and poetry halls, swimming in yodel wobble, stretch tape of extreme waltzes and blotched blue spots turning ice into ink. When I was a poet, everything was poetry, hummingbirds and maggots hatching, Everything and nothing counted, all plugged in to Heart Central. It's me at 12 or 13 at the Royal Roost with Pops digging bebop and his chubby kid drifting on a reed. Speed graphic dollar shot the leggy babe with a tray of smoke snaps two generations together because of the music. My dad a mystery, more approachable than mom, the blue heat of ice in our lives. Brown-eyed sorrows, big laugh pies in the mug, knocks the trance into dance. Am serious, but want to make people laugh, I'm my father's son. Am serious, but a tumbler, my father's son. Am nearly three decades older than my father when he died. My father's only son in our struggle to be the same, yet different, yet the same. My mother's only son in our struggle to be close became more apart. My mother and father's progeny, three daughters, one son, was raised in a female sphere, round orb of womb. Never learned what I know, yet knew it before I could read each letter of the alphabet. Was too young to be so old, and now too old to be so young, yet bones and sinew bid adieu. One never gets to the end of it, as if the beginning was clear and certain, so wrapped and raptured by closures and openings. My father's son held his hand down streets, even as a teenager. French Broom. Allow me these fragments. They are my poem. My poem is pieces here and there, chips off the old blockhead. One wall cracks apart, not from despair, but rain, plaster falls on the floor. Reminds me of a poem I write whenever I get time to sit down. Others balance by kneeling to pray. I allow them their poem. This is mine. A patchwork poem, pathwork, dream flesh sewn to flesh of wounds whose edges cut against the mouth. Don't turn away. My blood mixes with plaster, sealing the poem together. One letter, one word, one line at a time, held in the page. When I sew pieces together, they remain fragments. Typewriter strikes paper, needle through cloth, allow it. My grandmother was a seamstress, my grandfather a tailor, my father sat before his table sewing jokes into the air, something like Satori to think of it, splinters my brain, no judgment, let me be with my pieces spread upon the table. A puzzle, no matter how I move it, never solves itself. Time unbends me. My fragments make no difference. They are children laughing against knowledge. Shadows grow large in the field. My window watches sunset swallow song. Stars arise. Page after page of my book writes through time. Lights sewn together. My poem in bits and splinters. Darkness allows me. Into dawn, the door opens. Quail and pears wobble out for seed, scattered like stars in random swirls around the green grace of bamboo moving supple in the wind. Question my poem for words to describe it. The pages in pieces, praises, sorrows, joys, cornies, and sincere spirals of aura dust, fragments and whispers, thumb book of holy hints, all are my poem, and they bend to a moment ready for distraction. Breeze, white clouds, blue sky, yellow buds, French broom, opening. Here are some amulets from the section called Lemme Be. Protection. I have 10 faces on both hands. I spring at you whenever your back is turned. Amulet for silence. Unplug the world if that's too hard. Turn off the electricity powering your house. Night. Keep night company. Sing to her as she turns the pages. The better your song, the more lovely the light she offers in return. It is not a contest. It is a binding, a singing together. Invoke you out to see if there's shape beyond imagination. Invoke you out to see you invoke me out. All on a screen watched by others, turning inside out, looking to see if there's a shape beyond imagination. This is from part 5, profoundly titled, Poems. It gets down to the basic way we, I, you, live, die, do life, no death, the rest is restless, lots of mirror, lots of terror, lots of rare, unknown complaints. Cupped. Tarzan yodeled for a herd of elephants to decimate the white hunters drilling for oil in the heart of his jungle. They capped him king. Forever captured on the screen, Tarzan will never be free to sing with power again. Who hears him sing immediately giggles or squirms about in discomfort. He is now a cliché, where before he was a warrior and singer without peer. This is history. All the dead, the living, the in-between always here, and malleable as skin in time's impress, knowing everything, knowing nothing, praying and praying we stay until we leave, and those who grieve mourn themselves. In the dark we park our sharks, in the shark we feed our ark. In the ark we're stark, raving. In the end, we're not friends. In the end, we can't bend out or up. Instead, we mend and watch our ways. Pray for souls already lulled into piety stupor, which is pity, which is terror, to be stuck face to face by death's mystery, death's mastery. Lovers go wherever they can to love and kiss in doorways, on steps leading into houses they might someday live in. Expect no reason. It's mating season. They move on to other protected spots, down the block entwined, look into each other's faces, eyes, see only love. This is a poem dedicated to the jazz alto saxophonist Art Pepper. Art's desire to get it all said to all who thought him dead in the joint and beside the point. Art's struggle to sing it all through jazz warfare and tell everything he knew in brass speed, rap, stir, crazy utopia of muscle chops, push it in your face, rough, unrelenting grace. Fierce art pit bull clamps down, pulls edges out in time to break through, scream naughty beauty, toe to toe with any Joe who thinks they know better. Art tattoos blue needles into moonlight skin. Junk light makes mirrors perfect. Art's smoke aches out of wounds. L.A. art, burritos and bebop, black guacamole, serge suits, Central Avenue cat copping. Pepper at Club Alabama and Lee Young's band, all the chicks and the hat check chick have big eyes for Art's horn. Jewel box for Julie Rogers. The love that loops around your spine at touch rewinds its electricity, surrounds our bodies. No touch simple, lit nerve filaments connect to core. No kiss simple to tender wet lips connected to core. Nothing simple, and again nothing complex connect to core. Shuffle disappearing words up to the ceiling. Delights in the dark smudged by candles hint at curves of naked open beings. We're so busy entering into and being entered, eyes shut, eyes open, seeing what can't be, be. Sing of the joy my mouth finds in your armpits. Almost full moon, fat and shiny, startled me, pouring a glass of water from the kitchen sink. Sweet sweat, slick, laminates our flesh. Open window, breeze, goosebumps, legion, as we invade deeper heat, surrender willingly to the salt. Wet glisten of your diamond face of facets. My nervous tongue moves towards your pink lights. If we are wild animals tearing into each other, intent to ravish with joy and pleasure, then let's stay in our forest, start a bonfire around our tangled bodies that refuses to be extinguished. Part of a strangely epic poem called David Dog the Lion. History, mysterium, play misty for me on my knees in data dust. Must be shaman Mongol of Russian forebears on hind legs, winged chains drag against nettled flank. Naked shaman beings travel in air on curled clouds on oceans of magic, weather reports, current events, chthonic, numinous, demonic, zeppelins ever upward, then backward for the word cure, psycho-bio-escalator, beginnings, art the mark, pocked off that first ritual sickness, thick in clotting streams, depth charge known, wrestle snake, oh help spirits, any chance you have, swaying and spirited through it all. I am lifeline, and in my brought back words, the life you hold on to. In trust, I am on a journey for your soul. Old grandma, Mongolian cheekbones, yellowish scroll skin, thick black hair, cataracted eyes, Eurasian grandpa, how far back before first snake egg? Out popped the shaman link, whose poetry is to be always back and forth, but never fully welcome in one's hut, unless sickness invades order, and in chaos is shaman summoned to make right, all right, to make it well, to bind it back again, as it was without him, his presence menacing, his art a necessity. I'll just read from a group of poems called A Slew of Blues. Heaven, when it happens, is another closed door you wait behind, going blind with smashed cup jammed into your hand, and nothing to do but sing the blues to all the other ones. Dark eyes, white thighs, quiet nights, soft guitars, broken jaw, detached retina, looking for love in all the wrong places. How low can you go? How deep is the ocean? How low is down? How high is up? Drink the moon from a tin cup. Crow sun to sons and daughters sleeping at the torment. Wheel, drive, everywhere, nowhere. This is a sequence of poems called Night Reels. It's also enumerated. One, night, when it's light placed on paper, tracked down, dear lights haunt me. I seek it in black, her round hills still give me thrills, song against dark, oh mere words, mother tongue, furl to scoop tar out of milk, endless possible sea. Two, night the canopy our poem shapes, bend over song, pull long veils down majestic hallways, or stalled on a freeway to stammer ultimate truth any moment. Night the canopy blesses bent over peon, tills royal soil of invented earth. Three, night fights like no other, brother against brother, sanctioned by Gillette blue blades. Sectioned flesh looks back through blood mouths. His tongue knots against left hook, hits the deck, out. Jake, LaMotta's blonde wife in a white suit, splashed with blood, Sugar Ray, slams out of Jake's face. This is the abbreviated version. This is the Reader's Digest edit of Night Reels. If you want to read them all, you've got to get the book. This is the last one. Eight, you look back where once fearful shadows stalked and see the sea, a shadow in the mind, move beneath moonlight. Letters, numbers, codes lead to nothing. Stand up and curse it, damned thing in the blood, a molecule. Fool's drool strings out until it snaps. Down to the shore for more roaring into waves, which are cities to break hearts into portions, fragments broken off a sun. You look backwards or forwards, yet words stop, run down. Who is left to speak to? And what do you say? Dawn, loon, skims over the lagoon in silhouette, sings a crazed song, unable to tame my rage into haiku.
You've been listening to David Meltzer read from his latest collection, When I Was a Poet, number 60 of the Pocket Poet Series published by City Lights Press. I recorded David reading in his home in January of this year, and at that time I also recorded Julie Rogers. Rogers began writing at age 12 and reading her poetry in San Francisco cafes in the late 1970s. She has self-published 5 chapbooks, and in 2007, Vimala published her Buddhist hospice manual, Instructions for the Transitional State. Currently, her main focus is on several book-length manuscripts of poetry, one solicited by and recently completed for Wild Ocean Press. She has read in public radio and television and at many venues in Oregon and Northern California. Her poems have been published in various anthologies, such as Poets Against the War and most recently Beatitude, Golden Anniversary, 1959 to 2009. In the afterword, editor Latif Harris wrote, "Her poetry is beautifully lyric, combining the inner and outer worlds in a seamless unity of visionary grace, and is following in the steps of beat literature in its broadest sense." Here now is Julie Rogers reading her poetry. This is Catherine Hastings. You are listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM.
For example, her karma is all in her head. Wherever she goes, it follows, dog on the leash of her tongue. Karma walks her to the corner in town with a red dress on. Karma sets her up in an apartment. Karma is the rent, always due. She comes back every night, cooks karma dinner, that demanding tyrant, refusing to clean up. Karma follows her to the mirror. She can't distinguish between them, their wrinkles identical, and when she dies, karma will hold her like a promise. I'm going to continue here with a poem that I wrote when I was traveling in India alone about 4 years ago, and I was sick, so I got to watch some Indian TV for about 5 days in a motel room. So this is my experience with the news in India. World news. A motel room in India is a motel room in America. Door locked, mirrors smudged, beds made as a TV replays the world, flashing frenzied streets, glint of high-rise windows above the beggars. Crowded hospital halls, skinny models, flooding fields, explosions, courtrooms full of men in suits and ties and confusion. A commercial break, a psychotic break, face cream, hair gel, blue jeans, cell phones. Coming up next, the homeless in Mumbai, the homeless in New Orleans. India bleaches her skin. America wants a tan. We're coming up on Martin Luther King Day here. And I wrote this poem years ago about the experience that my family had when I was growing up in the LA area and my father worked in Watts. And I came from a fairly, you know, sort of subliminally prejudiced family. And this experience changed my parents and had a huge impact on everyone. And it's dedicated to Toy Derricotte, the poet. It's called The Longing for Color. A black man is living inside of my father, the whites of his eyes too wide in the black night. The whites of his eyes like a shock in the memory. Red flames in the background, the black man is running. Red flames, the cut tongues of men in that city. City of smoke in the country of justice. Black people trapped in a city of whiteness, finding a voice in the wicked white matchhead. Watts was a womb of the truth in this country. Daddy, a man who changed in this country. Daddy, a friend of a man in this country, invited the stranger to our Sunday dinner. Daddy, he told us the man was a good man, challenged by goodness to honor the black man. I didn't know. Were there men who weren't good men? I liked the nice man who smiled at dinner, before the great riots that woke up Los Angeles, before the curfews that kept us behind doors, because of the black men who might come and shoot us, the men who burned open the doors of the black life, a life I discovered was not the word. The word that my family had pushed to my small ears, the word that my mother had finally forbidden. My father determined we live in the suburbs, managed the stations that sold gas to black folks. In 65, Watts was a world of the black man, a world where the black man pushed gas at the stations, a world where the white folks stayed back from the black man, the men who protected my father with shotguns, who kept him my father instead of a dead man, who emptied the cash box and gave him the money, who stayed by him close to the cock of the shotgun, who worked hard at business to take care of families, families who lived their whole lives in this furnace, families who prayed at their bedsides just like us, families who wanted some happiness like us, families whose homes were destroyed by the riots, fathers and sons who threw bricks at the whiteness, whiteness like winter, a lifeless horizon, whiteness like lilies across a black casket, the whiteness of people who think they are better. Propaganda. All day I prove myself, insisting on things, even ideas, that make the same suffering. The thoughts are against me, the one who could release them. They make everything too big and I swallow, believing. I am full of their lies, littering my visions, quiet as worms. I am setting them down on the porch in the rain. I am ringing the bell. I am not answering. For many years, I lived in Oregon, though I grew up here in the Bay Area. And this poem is called Pausing in the Doorway. In the window at the Donut Den in Medford, Oregon, I reflect with the vacant yellow stools, the slick formica tables, not a crumb, and look out through my face to the darkened parking lot. A guy sits on the bus bench, mumbling in the cold, alone in this town that must be America. Some glazed-looking neighbors just off swing shift wander past the bargain mart. Let's save for the good life. My wrinkles stand out in the light, reminding. You have doubted your worth for years, concealing your scars, knowing that others hide their lives in a similar disguise. Citizens in the land of freedom, I refuse to paint my eyes. My lips are the color of flesh. I am shaped like the earth. My hands lined like a map that leads to death. If I am not beautiful, it is because I do not think so. My poverty caused by the lack of what I think I want and do not have. Someday the power of love may take me home, where my life has stood like a mannequin, stripped down. I didn't mean to be alone. It slowly surrounded me like the sound of a radio left on all night, cheating my sleep. The news is the same each day. I say this makes life easier, but the beloved waits, dormant in my heart. Full of hunger, familiar with the diversion of Safeway, I have gone to stroll the aisles, a tourist filling my bag like an eager mouth. Pain lives in this hole. We cover it quick as a burial. Sincere as prayer, I swear to God, if you were my neighbor, I'd ask you to dinner, and then wonder, if God is my nature, this must be my heaven. Tonight I saw the dark like a light blown out, a cover to crawl under where I fell, undone. My dreams have been hidden as stones deep in the ground. I walk in the land of promise, head down, staring at stains on the pavement, while the sky opens wide, facing dawn. Coming up, the moon is a dime shining on asphalt in the rain. Coming over, that poor man takes the dime into his flat pocket. Coming to this place, I am waking up. Seeing through my face, aging on the glass, I know this is it. This is the choice to live or watch through the window. The color of my cheeks there, faint as a tear. The ghost of my reflection now moving out toward the street where I am filled with the breath of the world. Pausing in the doorway, I am like everyone, familiar with isolation, nervous, but certain that we are not strangers. I raise my head to look you in the eye. Well, I'd like to read two or three poems for David. And the first one, this was a very fun and fulfilling thing for me and us. David introduced the idea that we write something back and forth. Or we had been talking about doing that. We'd already been doing that. But this would be like on a theme. So the theme that David presented is, who's holy? But this is the first one. And hearing, you know, knowing David's work and his identification with the dog as totem, I've written a lot of dog poems. So there's dog in this poem too. Anyway, who's holy? Who is real? Who asked? Who do you do? Do you do yourself? Man? Dog? Woman in your arms? Who is she? Whose mystery curls into your serpent's mirror? Who is looking back? Who do you love? Do you love real? Whatever happens around the corner? Do you love the unexpected jolt of life's holiest moment when you do not know? Do you bark at the moon, taking her up from your glowing bowl at midnight, lapping her kiss? Do you kiss the palm's rough push against your tender spot? Do you hold good, bad to your breast? Do you feed them? Do you know who will never deceive? Who will lead you to yourself and leave you at the bus stop? Do you know who travels in now? Holy cow, the world. Holy holds its own, holding nothing. Who am I? Who are you? And this is a poem written here at home for David. It's called Book. In your chair, your cave, head bent to book, your prayer, your candle. Quiet lights your eyes, fingertips, bowing spine, wooing mind from its house of white head atop an old man disguise, dog-eared trappings of sage. Sweatshirt loose on bones ground down into flesh you wrestle daily. Clomp along to the teapot, stand at the sink, look out over the Oakland hills, delight in their heavy gray. Pause on the way back to swallow titles, each a cell that fled your body for the shelves. Pause again, look in on me, still across the bed, my skin your page, belly of words, mythic dark patch, your full quill, breasts, oh, love's round letters, will write your poems, but today you are reading. And this is a poem that I wrote for David after our one-hour meeting, and we were apart for quite a while. Anyway, it's called Frog Song. An incredibly loud frog cackles one cack at a time, a rugged blurt, a single grate of grating sound off in the dark. Then silence. One single burp. Quiet broods. Then a hiccup. A dog barks. The crickets are hysterical. Clicks of crackle coming out of the black pitch of a throat not unlike other frogs. A grumble in the bumpy hide of soft warts that are meant to be there. Green and speckly, perfectly worn skin under the neck of a long life living under shrubbery. Who could imagine it? That you would sing to the night, crouching in a song that rumbles the dirt in the luscious rub of your own rhythm. This poem started many years ago and was completed 2 years ago. Suddenly I got it. You know how they'll just sit there and then... And so when I met David, he asked me to send him a poem, or I asked him if I could send him a poem, and he said yes. He said, duh. And so I sent him this, and he wrote back, and he said, we should read this together. And that was like the start of this, you know, the river. So this is called Revelation. Revelation. I am woman, man, child. I am the peak, the cave, darkness, brilliance. I am that which is invisible, without substance, a vision of nameless form present in the body, in the senses, an atmosphere of bliss and profusion. I am the empty voice of rumors that tell everything, revealer of secrets and lies, the throbbing pulse of a hidden life spent in full view. You cannot control me. I am assertion, withdrawal, giving, taking, force of energy and creator of frenzy. I am in your arms, under your tongue, between your legs, in your heart so firmly that your life is your own, but your eventual surrender is certain. I am your mother, your lover, your enemy, your idea of yourself undone, made more beautiful, more real, more of an illusion. I am not a thought, a phantom, a mask, a mirage. I am what you have always wanted, what you fear, what you don't understand, what you have deep inside you, like a world you cannot touch but feel constantly. I am your savior, betrayer, ally, spy, guru, slayer. There is nothing I do not know about you. My throne is firm on your crown, on your face, your penis, your lotus. I live inside you, blood, bones, whirling atoms, filling the space of your dissolution. Do not doubt my expanse. Do not distrust the emptiness of my presence. You speak of me as a mystery, but I have taken you everywhere. I am prayer, curse, vow, the promise of experience. I steal your ideas and spin them off into the world without asking, do you know me? Sky dancer, mirror, a blinding ray of heat. I have transcended belief. I am simple as faith. Only the unknown can live beyond me, and once made up, you will think I am your mind, where nothing is lost, nothing is found. Trust this.
This is Catherine Hastings. You have been listening to Julie Rogers. She is the author of House of the Unexpected, forthcoming from Wild Ocean Press. Before that, David Meltzer read from When I Was a Poet. Both of these poets will be reading live at the Word Temple Poetry Series on Saturday, March 24th at 7 p.m. at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. For more information, go to wordtemple.com. From The Fish House, an anthology of poems that sing, rhyme, resound, syncopate, alliterate, and just plain sound great, is an anthology edited by Camille Dungy, Matt O'Donnell, and Jeffrey Thompson. The book has a foreword by Gerald Stern and comes with a CD of many of the poems in the book recorded. I'm going to play some of those poems for you right now, and I'm going to start with Brian Turner's Here Bullet. Here are poems from The Fish House.
This is Brian Turner reading Here Bullet. Here Bullet. If a body is what you want, then here is bone and gristle and flesh. Here is the clavicle snapped wish, the aorta's open valves, the leap thought makes at the synaptic gap. Here is the adrenaline rush you crave, that inexorable flight, that insane puncture into heat and blood. And I dare you to finish what you've started, because here, bullet, here is where I complete the word you bring hissing through the air. Here is where I moan the barrel's cold esophagus, triggering my tongue's explosives for the rifling I have inside of me. Each twist of the round spun deeper, because here, bullet, here is where the world ends every time.
This is Ravi Shankar reading Spangling the Sea. Spangling the Sea. Ruffle and tuck, river fabric wags doggedly towards ocean, heaping surface on surface its cadence agown. Perpetually beneath lurks stillness, a calm inseam sewn by handless needles, distinct from yet part of the sequined design that glints iridescent now than dark as pine. Between silt and waver live many denizens of the deep. Zigzagging shiners, freshwater drums, tessellated darters, grass carp, a kaleidoscopic plenitude that yaws and rolls among root wads and bubble curtains drawn on riparian terraces, hinged vertebrae whipping back and forth in elastic continuum, displacing the fluid milieu, enabling them, polarized or not, to scull along in schools. Nothing in outer space so bizarre as episodes underwater. The guild emerged from bouts of massive oviparity staged upon plankton columns, where some fry turn larval while the majority never leave the sure rot of egg sleep. Whether due to snowmelt and mountainous headwater tracks, or to rainfall from cumulonimbus fancy, for whatever reason water appears, from serpentine soil and prairie scrub mosaic, a small muddy trickle that gains momentum as it swells and deepens, sweeping along twigs, carcasses, bald tires, to empty at length into estuaries engulfed by tides, perpetually born of a body dressed in hastening garb, upholstering 2/3 more surface than any ground.
This is Diana Marie Delgado reading In the Romantic Longhand of the Night. In the Romantic Longhand of the Night. Let's kneel on gravel, take apart the lace of fruit, and blade the wool of gracious lambs who kiss hard and eat the changing face of meadows. Late, the lark's a con of hands, frowns aloud, spinning a tail free of green. Let's break into picnics on the phone, befriending boys who crack safes and win ribbons for pigs that curry in the grain. Let's soap each face that's locked in a bathroom and slip in a letter written in the night's romantic longhand. Let's fake it the right way, costumed in the right light for the wrong person. We say we aren't, but we're seeking the tricky algorithm of travel. Boys who wager swans first, surviving on cobwebs and capture.
This is Adrienne Blevins reading Why the Marriage Failed. Why the marriage failed. From the beginning it was the money, how we would not or could not make it. It was never avarice. I resent the implication. It was how much like starlings children are with those same raggedy screechings and us, such languid nest makers. Him with his camera pointed up, and me in the chair with a plath in my lap. From the beginning it was our innocence, it was our impertinence, it was a bent outhouse in the dead, double-dead clot of twisted winter. It was him with a black cloth over his shoulders, and that huge camera for a face, and my face also like an infant's in the photos he made. It was stupidity, and I don't mind saying it, for we were farcical, we were illogical, we were like a circle spinning in just that hollow, we were the fragrance of the idea of the meaning of not. We didn't want destruction, we were totally against that, so we made it our philosophy. We sought a garden of black-eyed Susans because all we wanted was to frolic, because like everyone else, we just wanted to be happy. But we were too wet, we were like fog. We were an orchard of water in a cabin, stupor gone amuck. We'd sit on the porch and look for some fields to farm, but we were too fertile and didn't have hoes. We were minus a measuring cup and missing an umbrella when you two boys got here, and that was it. We were history. There were maybe 3 candies in our pockets, but we weren't blank. We were stuffed from loving you. We'd stare at your craving many mouths mid-shriek and go, "Oh, my God, how entirely exquisite. Oh, my God, what have we done?"
This is Matthew Shinoda reading For Charles Mingus and That Ever-Living Love Chant. For Charles Mingus and That Ever-Living Love Chant, after Quincy Troup. Plucking from real to surreal and back again, your baseline shifts roots gnarling trees into singing children, resurrecting tired bones into swinging feet, all the while ringing the song of your Afro-Asian roots, taking us all on the ride and fall of deep space swinging, like the floating verve of bird and those before you. You can wrap it all up in the dark wood of your hollow bass, make it sing like the quieting love of eagles mating in flight, break down note for note you've paved the streets of reverberating cadence, Mingus moving through space with that 4-string bass, creating the nimbus of atmospheric jazz and raining down smooth streaks of love, chanting like 2-toned whirls swirling through water like ripples of come-back-home blues, gyrating instrumental geese flying toward reformatory refuge of wailing bass lines and smooth-feathered solos. You've got love, Charlie, chanting with your outstretched arms, moving strings like a slide-by grooving, tracing knee to inner knee, your lover rests at the echoing space of every last note, calling across for something more.
This is April Osman reading Infidelity. Infidelity. I never stop to consider its less illicit pleasures, its syllables tumbling so readily off the tongue slapping lightly, repeatedly, the roof of the mouth left open as if with expectation or in surprise or song, this solo which leaves you alone holding the final note.
This is Tina Chang reading Invention. Invention. On an island, an open road where an animal has been crushed by something larger than itself. It is mangled by 4 o'clock light, soul sour sweet, intestines flattened and raked by the sun, eyes still savage. This landscape of Taiwan looks like a body black and blue. On its coastline, mussels have cracked their faces on rocks, clouds collapse onto tiny houses, and just now a monsoon has begun. It reminds me of a story my father told me. He once made the earth not in 7 days, but in one. His steely joints wielded lava and water and mercy in great ionic perfection. He began the world hammering the length of trees, trees like a war of families, trees which fumbled for grand gesture. The world began in an explosion of fever and rain, he said. Your body came out floating. I was born in the middle of monsoon season, palm trees tearing the tin roofs. Now, as I wander to the center of the island, no one will speak to me. My dialect left somewhere in his pocket, in a nursery book, a language of child's play. Everything unfurls in pictures. Soil is washed from the soles of feet. A woman runs toward her weeping son. Chicken bones float in a pot full of dirty water. I return to the animal on the road. When I stoop to look at it, smells of trash, rotting vegetation, the pitiful tongue, claws curled tight to its heart, eyes open, eyes open. When the world began in the small factory of my father's imagination, he never spoke of this gnarled concoction of bone and blood that is nothing like wonder, but just the opposite. Something simply ravaged. He would die soon after the making of the world. I would go on waking, sexing, mimicking enemies. I would go on coaxed by gravity and hard science while he rested in the satin of his shriveled skin, eyes swollen to exquisite planets.
Diplomats talk through their hats, they don't know what it's all about. They claim guns win every war, but in my mind I find it out. Guns will ever bring this country glory. And you'll agree after you hear our story. At the Battle of Bunker Hill, all the men were tired until the drum and the fife gave them new life. And rhythm saved the world. And in France not so long ago, all the men were feeling low. The drummer man struck up that band. And rhythm saved the world. You'll find music wherever history's concerned. Nero fiddled while Rome was being burned. If the truth you were looking for, you'll find music one in each war. The drum and the fife gave them new life. The drummer man struck up that band. The trumpet blow beat Jericho, and rhythm saved the world. And rhythm saved the world.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to the Mills Brothers singing How Rhythm Saved the World. Right before that, you heard a number of poems from the Fish House, an anthology of poems that sing, rhyme, resound, syncopate, alliterate, and just plain sound great. Thanks again to my guests, David Meltzer and Julie Rogers. And once again, you can hear them read live at the Word Temple Poetry Series at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts on Saturday, March 24th at 7 p.m. Reading with David Meltzer and Julie Rogers will be Sonoma County poet Gregory Randall. You don't want to miss him either. For more information, go to wordtemple.com. Or you can contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. If you have any questions or comments, do get in touch with me there. And thanks again for listening.